This is your podcast, but I dominate it because I'm here. Expect somebody to like you for who you are if you don't really like you for who you are.
You know, you're the founder of DXP Network, which is one of its kind, unique networking community that you're building here.
I love it. I did 50 episodes in 30 days, and then I made $5,000 in my first month.
What advice do you have for our audience to deal with power dynamics in social settings?
Life in itself, it's numbers. The more hands you shake, the luckier you'll get.
Rejection or skepticism and how you actually deal with...
Wealthy are cutthroat, straight to the point, and they can smell when you're scared. You can't be scared. There is the dark side of being an entrepreneur. Oh, man.
Welcome to License to Explore with your host, Rohit. This is a show where we take you through a journey with our guests about their travels and how they have discovered amazing places and the kind of amazing people we are. Today, I'm very excited because I have a guest that I've known for a while. He is a strategist. He is the person who can actually teach you a lot of things that you don't know about. He's also the networking guru, or rather better known as the networking wizard. And he runs, he's a media and PR mogul. He runs an agency that helps people get recognition. So I'm happy to and excited to welcome Juliano Gonzalez. Juliano, aka Networking Wizard, welcome to the show.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
How are you today? How's your day?
Every day above ground is a good day. I always say that. I'm very, very well. I was a little bit late, but, you know, that's Dubai traffic, as you know.
That's fine. Yeah. Better late than never, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, I'm excited to be here to speak with you. I know that we've known each other for a few weeks now. You've been coming to the events. And as soon as you told me that, hey, I'm launching a podcast, I'm like, dude, I'll be there. I'll go and support you as soon as possible.
I'm really happy that you accepted my request. And it's great to have you on the show. And we've known each other for, I think, more than a year. Mm-hmm. I attended your first networking meet in Hilton in McGettigan's. And I got to discover, a lot of things. Right. So, Juliano, before we actually dig deeper into what you do and how you help people, I wanted to understand, when exactly did this traveling bug start for you? When did you really start traveling, or when did you, realize that traveling is amazing?
When I was very young, I had a big dream, and my dream was to travel the world and make a full-time income while doing it. I never saw myself having a job for the rest of my life, if that makes sense. I saw my grandpa, my grandma, and my mother work really hard, and that was great. I always knew there was a way on how to work smarter, not harder. So I'd say that since I was very young, I moved from Chile to Australia when I was very young, and when I made that leap of faith with my family, I felt like the traveling bug was stuck onto me, because I remember arriving in Australia and not speaking any English at all.
Wow.
And then after 6 months speaking English and getting my way around, and I'm like, shit, that was easy. So I've always had it in me. Always.
Awesome. I've been to Australia. I lived exactly, but I was on a project work in Melbourne, in Bandura.
I lived in Melbourne.
Oh, you lived in Melbourne?
Yeah, I love Melbourne.
Amazing place. I still miss the coffee from Australia. Nothing I can't like find it. That coffee in Dubai right now, or anywhere else in the world. No. Even, there used to be a cart which used to go around, like a mobile coffee van.
Yes.
And it was only $1 at that time in 2013 and 12 when I used to travel there. And the coffee was so amazing.
Dude.
Where can I find that coffee?
It's like unmatched. It's completely unmatched. And like, Australians are the biggest coffee snobs, but for a reason, because he's one of the best in the world.
Right. So, Juliano, you have lived in so many different continents, coming from Chile, moving to Australia,
Brazil,
you were in Ireland, Colombia, you were in Brazil, you were in
England,
so many different places. So what I wanted to understand is, living in these different places, obviously you are the networking wizard and the networking guru.
Yeah.
How did it help you network better, or how did it open your networking persona?
Well, I can only speak from my experience. Yeah. I think whenever you are a shy person, you actually are restricting yourself from having the best opportunities, the best partner, the best life experiences, because you're choosing to stay small. So from a very young age, my grandma and my mom essentially told me, hey, go out there, say hello to people. You're very confident. You're very comfortable when you speak to people. So, everything comes from childhood, whether it's trauma or something good, but it was embedded on my brain that I had to speak to human beings. So that is essentially how I felt so comfortable going out there and speaking to people. In terms of how did I develop that specific skill set? By doing it, right? By not overthinking it. A lot of my content on social media right now, it's unfiltered. And the reason why it's unfiltered is because most social interactions are unfiltered. You don't go up to a stranger and say, hey, let me read you the script. You don't, right? No. You probably have some notes right now, but you're not looking at them all the time. You're looking at them only when they're relevant, right?
Right.
So when you are interacting with another human being, it's really important that number one, you're super present. And number two, you're able to add value very, very quickly. And I saw that gap growing up. I saw that gap that most people, maybe they either had money, but they had no social skills. And I saw very quickly and understood that, hey, like that's my huge advantage of anybody. Because when you know what to say, you can get away with anything.
Awesome. Yeah. Amazing. It's golden words, they say.
Literally. That. Literally.
We keep hearing this network is net worth or net worth is network. Yeah. Do you believe in that?
Absolutely. Dude, if I wasn't able to network, I wouldn't make all the money that I make on the internet. Mm. The only reason why I was able to make money is because of my network, right? I connected with Iman Gaji when he was not that known, right before he blew up. And if it wasn't for that connection, I shot him a DM on Instagram, okay? Mm. And that opened the doors to me getting access to all of these entrepreneurs who needed digital clout. Wow. They all wanted digital clout. Because if you think about it, again, it goes back to my point. You can have money, but if you have no status, no influence on the internet, you can't really sell your product. Right. So that's something that I'm really good at. I'm really good at spotting the gaps and giving immediate trust to either an entrepreneur or a company. So because of that and that background and dealing with so many rich people throughout my teenage years as well, because I worked in luxury real estate between the ages of 20 to 24. So I was dealing with very, very wealthy individuals. And that's really when I learned how to speak to the wealthy. Because how you speak to the wealthy is very different to how you speak to a normal everyday civilian. Completely different. Right. The wealthy are cutthroat, straight to the point, and they can smell when you're scared. You can't be scared.
No bullshit types.
No bullshit. And this is why you have to be so certain, even though whether I'm speaking right now, looking at your eyes, is because I know who the fuck I am. Mm-hmm. When you don't know who you are, you are scared of social interaction. So when people ask me, hey, how do you network? Know you first, okay? Learn your values. Learn what you stand for. Learn how to love yourself. And therefore, as a consequence, people will feel automatically attracted to you.
Awesome. Amazing. So I want to establish your travel persona.
Yeah.
So all of us are different type of travel personalities. Some people like to backpack. Some people like luxury travel. Some people like budget travel or nomad style travel. What is, when you travel, what's your travel persona like?
Now it's different than it was to be when I first got started. When I first got started, I still liked to live in nice places, right? But now I fast first class. Everywhere I go, if I'm going to travel like more than 10, I go first class. Anywhere between 5 and 10, I go business class. It's very rare that I do economy now, flying. Very rare, because once you go business and first class, you can't go back. Seriously, you just can't.
I agree with you, and I've been there, and I know what it feels like. And actually, funny enough, this brings me to a question we ask every guest on the show. It's kind of like a icebreaker for us.
Yes.
So if no questions asked today, I handed out a first class ticket to you. Mm-hmm. Where would you fly and why?
Madrid.
Madrid, wow.
I lived in Madrid for a month and I had such a good routine in Madrid. I would go boxing and then training in the afternoon. People were lively. There was music. There was culture. I could get 10,000 steps done in like an hour because everything is so walkable in Europe. You know, definitely Madrid. I also liked a lot of Austria. Spent a lot of time in Austria. I really like Austria. I like the greenery of Austria. I like the wine and all that sort of classy stuff that Austria has. I think Austria has such a beautiful culture. They're very similar to German people, but slightly so different. So yeah, either Madrid or Austria.
I've been to Madrid. I spent a lot of good time there. Gran Via.
Nice.
And walking the streets. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And the food, anything you tasted there, tasted amazing. I don't know what it was.
So good. So good there. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It's completely unbelievable.
Truly.
Giuliano, I've been fortunate to attend a lot of your events and hear you speak. So I know a lot about what you believe in and what you think about. And I know you keep saying that you want to inspire 10 million people to network. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Or like, what's your statement on this 10 million people connection thing? Or your dream or your desire?
I had a vision when I was a kid. I saw me standing on stage, talking to millions of people, and then people feeling inspired. And I don't know anything else. I just have that vision, and I want to make it into reality. I never had public speaking training. I've never attended any type of seminar on how to speak. I am a product of my childhood trauma and my childhood blessing all combined. And I've got such a big, deep need to give inspiration and give hope to people. Everything that I do comes from a place of faith as well. So I believe in God. To me, God is my biggest force in this lifetime. And I feel like I was put on earth to be a messenger, to be a warrior of God and spread the message of faith first and foremost. But secondly, let another fellow human know that it's okay to say hello to a stranger, because the worst thing that can happen is somebody says no. But if they say yes, your life could potentially change forever, just like it did for me.
Awesome. I hear you, and I remember that you are having some sort of a spiritual connection as a God's messenger to sort of help people connect. It's the voice which is coming from somewhere deep, and it's truly an amazing feeling. And you're practicing that, you're preaching that, and you do this day in, day out in your lifestyle, in the way you meet people or the way you help people break ice. So tell me, you've spoken about, the power dynamics in social settings, right?
Yes.
So when these power dynamics shift, how do you navigate them as an individual, or what advice do you have for an audience to deal with power dynamics in social settings?
When you have a conversation and it doesn't go according to plan, is that the question?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
Okay, so whenever you speak to somebody and you say something and they react in a way that you wouldn't expect it.
Exactly.
And the question is, how do you deal with it internally so then the other person doesn't judge you?
Mm-hmm.
You do whatever you want. That's the problem. People overthink too much.
Yeah.
It's your world. This is your podcast, but I dominate it because I'm here. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, that is so arrogant to say out loud, and people need to comprehend this back at home, that this is the only way you really start loving yourself. Like, if I didn't believe I was the shit, like, who would? Yeah. Nobody at home would watch this podcast. No one would really care who the networking wizard is. You guys need to understand something, okay? It needs to start with you. Everything in your life that you have today is a product of the ongoing beliefs that you've chosen to believe, okay? It doesn't matter what's necessarily true. All that matters is what you believe to be true, because based on what you believe to be true will determine the results that you get on your everyday life. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's a belief system, because if you don't believe in something, it's not going to happen.
That's right.
It's never meant to be, or whatever the scenario might be. Like you said, even though it's my podcast and you are my guest today, and I'm happy to host you.
Yes.
But you dominate the show. But it's kind of, for me, it's pleasurable because I know you as an individual.
Of course. And I mean it in a respectful way. But I'm trying to convey a message that the viewer can understand is there's nothing wrong with thinking you're truly valuable.
Right.
It's all on how you communicate it. So if you pay attention, don't do what I say, watch what I do. Every time I give context here on the podcast, I always go back and say, hey, pay attention to why I said this. And I say in advance, it's not about being arrogant, it's how you say it, right? So I'm trying to give context around the podcast as to why I say what I say. And it's really important if you're an everyday civilian or even an entrepreneur or anyone for that matter, how can you expect somebody to like you for who you are if you don't really like you for who you are?
Absolutely. Self-love
is key here.
It's key here.
Yeah.
Great, awesome. I totally believe in what you say, and
I've disrespected myself in the past so much, and that is why I am how I am now, because I've taken so much disrespect from myself, from other people, from past partners, that now I'm solid. You know, it's okay to go through painful situations. You must go through a difficult situation, both men and women, in order for you to go next level, because if you don't, you never truly learn anything, right? For example, if you put your hand like this and you've got a cigarette and you burn it in your hand, right, you're going to feel the pain.
Yeah.
Versus seeing somebody else get his hand burnt, right?
Right.
You need to feel that pain. So then you know, I'm going to move my hand now. I'm not going to get burnt.
Absolutely. So what you're saying really is your experiences shaped you to who you are today. Yep. And like, if you don't feel the pain, you will never know what the pain is.
That's right.
And you will never shape into a person that you're supposed to shape.
Never. Not in a million years.
Let's try to connect some of your travel experiences with the networking side as well. So what's one travel experience that completely caught you off guard and you were something that you were never prepared for, or something happened during your travels? Can you share something?
Oh my gosh, when I was in Bali, I opened up my elbow, I fell off a bike. I think I was not expecting that at all in Bali, but a lot of people go through that, so I shouldn't have been surprised. Mm-hmm. But that was one thing that I didn't expect in Bali. Bali was such a cool place, man. It was such a chill place, but there was no drive. It was too feminine for me. The energy is way too feminine, so I had to escape and come to Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that was one of them in Dubai.
Okay.
Sorry, in Bali.
In Bali, yeah.
In Bali.
So you are the networking wizard and you've been traveling a lot. So
that's so fucking weird. You know, people say like, I see people sometimes on the street and stuff. And like, oh, you're the guy with the, you're the networking wizard. And I'm like, I've got a name.
Giuliano.
But people just call me, I don't care. Like networking wizard. That was purposely chosen, by the way. And that's a really important thing. So if you're in the game of social media or you want to get into the game of social media, like having something you need, like a unique username, it's so, so helpful.
Absolutely.
It really is so helpful. Absolutely. So, so helpful.
So you traveled and networked in so many countries and so many places.
Yeah.
And was there ever a country where you traveled to or culture that challenged your usual approach to communication?
Austria.
Austria.
People in Austria are very cold.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I do think that they're very warm, but it just takes a little while. You know, South America, Colombia, Brazil, people are super warm, super friendly. It's very, very different. But the German culture, like it's just very different. So that was slightly so difficult because I had to tone down my extroverted side. But nevertheless, I always manage. You know, I'm like a chameleon. I adapt. So I don't really mind.
Awesome. Now, I know you've spoken about this a lot. Networking and building relationships is not always smooth for everybody. You're the networking wizard.
Yeah.
But have you ever faced rejection or skepticism and how you actually deal with it? I know you always talk about rejection. So
yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about that.
I don't believe in rejection. I think rejection, it's an automatic disqualifier for people that are not meant to be in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I don't take it personally. Depends on what type of relation, on what type of rejection, right? So if he's in a relationship, like an intimate relationship, of course it's going to be painful. But again, I always revert back to God. And sometimes God does these things because he knows that you deserve better. Because he knows that you're not meant to be in this place. Because he knows that you're worthy of more, right?
Right.
That's why this happens to you. So if you just shift the perspective and stop thinking, oh my God, like why did I lose this person? Like, oh my God, why did this deal not go through? It's okay. Something bigger and better. Okay. What God has taken from you today, he will give you 10 times more in the future. That's the way that I look at it.
Yeah. There's one saying that when God closes one door, he opens 10 others, right?
Oh boy.
So you're saying to accept rejection and move on. And there's always something bigger, better for you.
Yeah.
Not to get disheartened with rejection and have a lion heart and move on. Is that what you would say?
Yeah. And like, keep trying. Like, you know, you can't give up just because somebody rejected you for the first time. And this is why a lot of people, for example, they will start a digital business or a business of any sort and they will fail because they give up. They reach out to 50 people. They're like, oh, it doesn't work. I'm like, dude, I've reached out to like 10,000 people. It works, right? It's a volume game. I'm not saying you have to reach out to 10,000 people, but I'm just giving an example, right? Life in itself, it's numbers. The more hands you shake, the luckier you'll get. True or not?
Yeah.
If I shake 3 hands today versus shaking 15 every day, who's got the higher chances of meeting a multimillionaire?
Of course, the guy who does 15 hands.
Why?
Because he's increasing his chances by trying to talk to more people.
That's right.
Rather than limiting himself with 2 or 3 people and giving up and saying, oh, I spoke to 3. It did not happen. So it's probably it's not meant to be. You know, some people have this kind of thinking and it takes them behind when they see rejection, right? It's kind of related to rejection in a way, right?
100%. 100%.
So how important, since you do a lot of networking and you're the networking wizard, once again, we keep saying that.
It's okay. Keep saying it.
How important is the energy or the emphasis on positioning the right energy in conversations or when you deal with people or with situations?
Well, you know this very well. I made a comment to you before, like the way that you dress is really important. I think now you're dressing extremely sharp, right?
Thank
I love
you.
The pocket square. I love the little thing you've got on the side there. You don't get a second chance at first impressions. So you want to make sure that they count, right? So smelling good, looking good, all of these small details play a huge role because you have to think about it. People ultimately are looking for, subconsciously, they're thinking, who's going to be part of my tribe?
Right.
If we go back to the olden days, like people are thinking that, well, can this person fit my tribe?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to attract people that want, like you, dress well, smell good. And if you don't like that well and you want to attract stinky people, then be stinky. I don't know what you're into. Like point is, you have to become that person that has that aura and the magnetism to bring people to you.
Right. So what do you think, according to you, since you deal with so many people, what's the biggest mistake people make while networking?
Oh, man. They're going too hard too early. It's like, for example, imagine going up to a pretty girl at a bar and you say, hey, like, do you want to get intimate with me? but you don't even ask the name. It's like so out of context. A lot of people do this.
Is that desperate or
what? Yeah, it's extremely desperate. You know, I think any type of relationship needs to be built over time. I mean, you and I know each other for a year and now on your podcast after a year.
Right.
Right?
Right.
There's trust there. Yes. It's a relationship that has been built over multiple interactions, both in person and in social media.
Right.
So when you meet somebody new, you have to be thinking very long term. You have to be thinking, how can I build a pipeline of potential customers that won't convert today, that won't convert tomorrow, but maybe in 3 months, because they keep seeing me and keep hearing from me, they'll convert, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have such a big pipeline that every month you've got people dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping.
Amazing.
That's how you have to think about it.
Right. I think I can relate to you. So if you can share with the audience how to start a conversation with a stranger. I know you keep doing this in your sessions, but the audience wants to listen from the networking wizard.
Yeah, of course. Like, just say, yo, what's up?
Just I'm say, yo, what's up?
Yo, what's up? I'm Juliana. Nice to meet you.
Oh,
that's
it.
Like,
is that easy?
That easy.
Okay.
But yeah, again, you have to remember, you have to look good. You have to smell good. Mm. You have to dress good and just smile. Right. If you're willing to smile, then people will smile back. The other stranger is just as scared as you are, if not more scared.
Right.
Okay. And if somebody's, for example, I went off a call today and this person just had a bad energy, I'm like, ugh. I'm like, I don't want to talk to that person. I politely ended up the phone call. I said, oh my God, I've got another meeting now, but it was really good to connect. I'll see you another time. You know, whatever. Makes
sense. So Juliana, you're the founder of DXP Network, which is one of its kind, unique networking community that you're building here.
I love it. You have great visions. I love it.
So I'm trying to answer a question for people watching this or listening to us.
Yes.
How do you make friends in Dubai? Go to DXP Network.
Yes.
Meet people. You know, come out of your comfort zone. Try to network with people. Mm. Be your best. Smell good. Dress good.
Yes.
And you
yes.
don't know where these conversations will take you, right?
You just don't know, because like if you never say hello, then you never know, right? And it's always like the typical analogy of like the one that doesn't ask doesn't get.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be the guy that gets 100 no's, but then gets 10 yeses.
Right. So what's a tip for some introverts who want to like really open up and come out of their comfort zone and start talking to people?
Introverts are selfish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Introverted people are selfish because they only think about them.
Right.
They only think about me. That's all you're thinking about.
Right.
But you're not thinking about your gift, the reason why you're in this world. You know, if you thought for a second about other people that maybe are also struggling and said, you know what, I got to step up. I got to talk to people because I am an inspiration. You know, do you think I enjoy talking to people every single day, all the time, be 24/7 on camera and doing all this sort of crazy stuff on social media? Not all the time, but I have a bigger responsibility that I must carry that is above me, the networking wizard, Juliana Gonzalez, that I must do, because if not me, then who's going to do it? You right. know?
So from what you tell me, introverts are probably selfish people, or they are selfish people, or they only think about themselves. It's a me thing.
It's a very
and they're not trying to relate to other people or reason with other people, and they're not trying to be humble. And is that what you're saying? Am I reading you right?
Yeah, and the peanuts on the common heads, they will say something like, oh yeah, but you don't get it because you're not introverted. Or they'll say something like, yeah, but I've got anxiety, but yeah, but I've got depression. You only have these things because you've chosen to subscribe to this bullshit. I don't subscribe to depression. I don't subscribe to anxiety. If I feel anxiety, guess what I do? I lock myself in a room and then I listen to Wim Hof and I meditate and then I'm out. Boom, I bounce. I got to keep moving, man. You know, like you guys are so focused and worried about like all these depression, anxiety, you know, introverted bullshit that it keeps you small. It keeps you stuck. You're choosing. You become addicted to this depression. You become addicted to this anxiety. You've chosen to become addicted to these substances that your brain is giving you. Okay.
Yeah.
At some point, and let me be honest here, the only people that actually care about this sort of stuff is your mom and your dad. Nobody else gives a fuck.
Mm.
So get real with yourself. The world is a tough world, unfortunately. I am not known for being a very nice, soft person. And that is okay. No, not everyone's going to like me. But ultimately, you have to make the choice. Do you want to have a better life? Or do you want to be stuck and depressed for the rest of your life? The choice is yours.
Right.
You know?
So it's all about the choices you make. Make the right choice and do the right thing.
I mean, like, look, listen, if you want to be a loser, then stay a loser. Be my guest. Or if you want to win, let's go and win. Is that
Absolutely.
Simple?
Absolutely. You have to make that decision. You have to make that choice.
Yeah.
Because unless you don't make that choice, nothing's going to change in your life. And probably you're going to end up in the worst place or in hell or wherever.
These are all beliefs.
Right.
everything that we have in life. So for example, if I choose to become a fan of Denmark, then I am a fan now of Denmark and I want to go there and I want to live there. I've subscribed to it. Now I like it. Do you know?
Yeah.
It's a choice.
Right.
You know, you don't have habits. Mm. You make choices.
Absolutely.
Oh, I've got a habit of like sleeping late. No, you don't. You're making a choice of staying up late and then waking up late. It's a choice. It's not a habit.
Right. Right. So I've been following you for a long time and watching your videos. And I remember that you did mention that Dubai is truly a lonely place. So do you feel networking is more important, especially in a city like Dubai, or is the same everywhere in the world, or particularly in Dubai, you feel people are more lonely and they need an opportunity to go out there and meet people and open up and build connections?
I think Dubai is, it's difficult for most people because most people have such a big ego and they don't want to share the information that made them successful.
Right.
And they're only willing to share it if they pay for like a private mastermind or whatever. And they only want to hang out with a partner and not really socialize. It's the problem with COVID. When COVID came out, forced everybody to be on the laptops. But now you can see a massive change in the marketplace where people want to go out, people want to meet people, people want to interact with people in live settings. That's why events are coming back as well, right?
Yeah.
So when you say this, do I think it's difficult to network in Dubai? No, because I run a networking event. So to me, meeting people is extremely easy. I get invited to all the events. I get invited all the time to different things.
Let me flip the question. Is it more important in Dubai to network than other countries or other cities? Because like maybe, you know, I feel like in Dubai, everyone's, like you said, ego. Mm. They don't want to talk to people.
Yeah,
they're just very too comfortable in their chair.
It really depends on your situation. So people say like, well, is this only applicable to entrepreneurs? No. For example, let's say you had a job.
Yeah.
And let's say you go to the office and your boss makes a funny joke about you in front of people and that makes you feel uncomfortable. You feel uncomfortable now, okay? And you want to leave your job, but you can't because you have no network. Now you're stuck and you're unhappy. You feel me?
Yeah,
if you had a network, you'd be able to quit and go to another job.
Yeah.
So networking is applicable to normal staff members and also entrepreneurs alike. You know?
I think to everybody, right?
Because everybody.
If you have a network, you can move on. Otherwise, you're stuck in that place because you have no choices or you have nowhere to go. Like you said, even if you're in a job. Right. Amazing. I think that's a great tip.
100%. If you have a job, like this is so applicable to you as well if you have a job. For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some maybe some travel tips and hacks and that you use normally. So what do you think, according to you, what's a travel hack that most people don't know about and you've been using it for years and you feel surprised when you share it with someone?
Amex points. I mean, that's a pretty common one, I think. Amex. I used to use a lot of Amex points.
Mm.
My network. I've got access to like huge discounts on flights. Like I'm talking 50%.
Wow.
On all my flights.
That's a lot.
Not all of them. Well, depends on the destination, but I just have such a big network. Again, like everything that I have in my life is because of my network. Like I wouldn't be able to make money online if it wasn't for my network. People make a mistake here, and I'm sure that you've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, people crapping on people that sell online programs, courses, mentorships, and all this sort of stuff. And they only do it because they actually never learn to sell.
Mm.
They never learn to market and they never learn to network.
Right.
When I got started making money on the internet, man, like I built the network really fast within a month.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I launched a podcast. I did 50 episodes in 30 days and then I made $5,000 in my first month because I met so many people, you know.
That's insane.
But people nowadays, they want to grab this book and be like, all right, you want this for like $10? All right, cool. Like they want everything so easily done. And that
instant. They want immediate results.
Yeah, immediate results. But not just that. That's because they're not aware of the marketing strategies that most people are putting out there. And they think, oh, I'm going to buy this on automation. It's going to work without me. I'm going to have multiple passive income streams, blah, 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 blah.
So I don't mean to spill the beans or share your secrets, but when you spoke about massive discount on flights that you get because of your network, is it something like buddy tickets or friends and family or people you know who are kind of working in some of these airlines able to snag these deals? So you have some different tricks altogether.
I'd rather not disclose.
Okay.
But I'll tell
makes
you.
Sense.
I'll tell you off camera. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. That sounds good. So when you travel, how do you pack? Do you like have some packing mantra? You have some formula of packing or?
I travel light everywhere I go.
Okay.
I just go and buy new clothes everywhere I go.
Yeah, so that helps you build your wardrobe.
Yeah, it gives me a good excuse to buy more clothes. I go super light. I have a little bag and I just go. I also like the fact that I don't have to check in. I hate checking in my bag on the airport, man.
Yeah,
I hate it. No matter if
painful,
you go first or doesn't matter. Like I just hate checking it in. So I'd rather just take it by hand. I get out of the plane and I get out on my way straight away.
All right. Let's dig into a little bit of your travels and you know, places you've been to.
Mm.
So which is the most safest country you ever traveled to? out of all
safest.
Your
safest.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
It's a tough one. Or it's easy.
It is. Dubai. Dubai is the safest by far.
Really?
Like there's no place like Dubai.
There's no place like Dubai.
Nah.
It's the most safest.
Yeah. Like Europe, for example, like I lost this scooter. You wouldn't believe it. I was in Austria and in this little town in Austria and I took this scooter and this idiot took my fucking scooter.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. And then I was like, oh, whatever. I'm going to buy a new one. So I bought a new one straight away. But like, that's not the point. Like, I lost it. You know? I couldn't believe it. I literally could not believe it.
So I was about to flip the question, but probably already answered it. Which is the most unsafest place you've been to? And is that Austria or something else?
No, Austria is great. I think I've never seen nothing. Thank God, inshallah, nothing's ever happened to me. But Brazil, Colombia, you know, people speak very badly about Brazil. I've never seen anything wrong in Brazil, but I know that it has a very bad reputation, but you know,
right,
normal.
So what about food? Which is the best country for food based on your travels and your experiences?
Oh, best country for food. I love Chile.
Chile?
I am natural. I'm from Chile. I love the food in Chile. Oh my God.
A friend of mine in America, he has a Chilean girlfriend. And
really?
She was really pretty.
Oh my God.
Very
good
beautiful.
On him. Yeah. No, like the food in Chile is amazing. Yeah. Honestly, so good.
Great.
So good.
And what about like your own personal choice when you travel? You are more inclined to luxury restaurants or street food. Is there a preference you have?
Listen, I can go very luxury or I can go very streetwise or I can go like super hippie. Like I am a very diverse kind of character. I can dress very nicely and everything. But when I'm traveling, I just don't give a fuck. I wear whatever I want. But typically speaking, yeah, I dress clean, but it really depends on the vibe, man. So if you're going to Bali, you can't dress like this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to dress like this.
Island, the beach
it's
vibe.
Island, shorts, flip-flops.
Flip-flops, beach shirts.
Yeah, like what else can you wear?
Awesome. Yeah. So which country, according to you, based on your travel experience, has the most friendliest people?
Brazil.
Brazil?
Brazil, by far, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, beautiful women, beautiful people, beautiful everyone, everything. Everyone's beautiful there.
Really?
It's just like such a good culture. I love it.
I have to go to Brazil now.
You have to go to Brazil now,
like,
yeah.
A lot of guests I spoke to and they're inspiring me to go to Brazil. It's in my bucket list.
Yeah, honestly. I didn't like Colombia.
Yeah, I've been to Colombia. I've been to Bogota.
I think Medellin was it was a massive overhype. I didn't think it was that cool.
Yeah. Okay. So what about hospitality? I know we spoke about friendliest people. Which country, according to you, in your travel experience, was the best hospitality?
Dubai.
Dubai?
By far.
By far.
Yeah. The service here is unmatched.
It's unbelievable, right?
So good.
Service, yeah.
Yeah.
And any underrated country you have been to?
Underrated as Ireland. Ireland's so ugly.
You live there?
Yeah, I lived there for a month. In Dublin, it was so ugly. I would not suggest it. Yeah, okay. I didn't like it. I almost got snapped there.
So, do you think traveling is a good way to overcome social anxiety? Does it open you up as a personality?
Yeah, for sure, because you have to meet people, right? It depends. Yeah. If you travel by yourself, like you're forced to meet people. Otherwise, what are you going to do? What's the point of traveling if you're not meeting people? So boring. So, yes.
Let's talk about you moving to Dubai from everywhere that you've been to. Why did you make this choice to move to Dubai? You had so many other options.
Oh, man. It just seemed like the obvious choice. Everyone, first and foremost, is moving to Dubai. Dubai is literally where the United States used to be in the 80s. So to me, it seemed like an obvious choice. Dubai was built from nothing, from dirt, 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So it was built based on a vision. Mm-hmm. So I want to be part of that vision. I want to bring more awareness to Dubai. And I want to speak about the good because, you know, people also like to crap on Dubai. And I don't think there's only the civilians, the normal people that, you know, have jobs, they will crap on it. But if you're a business owner, this is heaven.
Amazing. Dubai is a land of opportunities. Like Giuliano said, it's the 1980s as the United States was in the 1980s. And there's lots to do here. You just have to be with the right people. Network,
yep.
You know, be in the right circle and then 100%. You'll make it big. So I wanted to understand, is it easy for Latinos to live in Dubai and what is the Latin culture in Dubai and how do you make friends or meet Latin people as a Latino in Dubai?
Fuck, man. I'm so disconnected from a Latin community and I really want to get a little bit more close, but you know, when my life really changed when I started making money. I know a lot of people, but my circle is very, very small, right? And the reason why it's small is because you just become more cautious as to who you spend your time with. I love my Latin culture, but I just can't hang out with normal everyday people because we don't have the same level of interest. Talking about going to parties, drinking, doing drugs and like having fun, I'm thinking, how can I go next level? How can I grow? Like every time I hang out with my friends, we're talking about business. Mm. It's my life. Like, you know, I think, you know, there is the dark side of being an entrepreneur. And that dark side is that, you know, you get consumed by this life. If you're very driven, if you want to do big things, you literally do get consumed. And to a point, you almost don't even feel as human anymore because you don't see anything else besides the drive. You don't see anything else besides the goals, the vision, the reach. And to a certain point, I think that is unhealthy, but it's what is required to go next level and compete. Because as a man, you're always competing. There's always someone trying to take your girl. There's always someone trying to take your money. There's always someone, right, trying to take something from you. We're in constant competition with other people. Okay, and people like to talk about competition, but I think competition is healthy. So you have to be aware and you have to move fast here in this city. But more importantly, also understand that you can't be operating from a place of scarcity, but you have to be operating from a place of abundance.
Wow, that's a great thought. Living in Dubai changes you a lot and you know, helps you experience different things. But obviously, like you mentioned, you miss probably the Latino culture here. But I think you've got other things to look up to.
But you can't have one thing without the other.
Yeah, you know, it goes hands in hand.
Yeah, if you want to have the Latino life and have fun, then be my guest. It's okay. You know, you're going to have a normal life. And you will probably die extremely happy with good friendships and whatever. And that's what you want to do. You want to do that. Be my guest. But I have a goal of reaching 10 million people and inspire 10 million people. So my goal is not to make best friends. My goal is not to have, you know, be the life of party and get, you know, stuffed up with women. Right. That's not my goal. My goal is to reach millions and leave an impact. So when I go, I'm at least remembered by another extra 10, 20 years. And people will say, well, who cares about the next 10, 20 years? Maybe you don't, but I care. Doesn't really matter.
It's individual choice. You care about it. You care about it. That makes sense to me.
There's no need to be, and this is the other thing, people need to stop trying to explain themselves to people that are not really relevant to their life.
Absolutely.
You should see the comment section on my reels. Blah, blah, blah. Like people like swimming and screaming and swearing that they can do better than me. Cool, show me.
Who cares? Like
I don't care. Whatever.
There might be a million people who can do better than you, but you know you're the best. And that's what I think you should believe in. And you should move with that mindset. Otherwise, 100%. You're going to limit yourself and you'll not get the best outcome.
Facts.
Right? I'm speaking like Giuliano, it looks like.
Now you're like, ooh.
Sounds good. Tell me, living here for whatever time you've been living, have you experienced Emirati culture or met a lot of Emirati people? And what's your take on that?
I love Emiratis. I think the Emiratis have such a deep need to show expats the true colors of Dubai. They're deeply cultured. But besides deeply cultured, I think they're just really good people. Really, really good people.
Amazing. You nailed it. I think the Emirati life is truly amazing and they really take care of you. They go out of the way to make you understand.
Yeah, they will take you like on a trip here and there, last minute. They will take you to they will do anything so you feel at home.
Yeah, because they don't want you to have misconceptions about Dubai or about Emirati life or generally how they are. All right. So we're going to move into the next section, which is basically a rapid fire section. It's a very simple section. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a few things and you just have to pick one basically, right?
Okay.
So window seat or aisle seat?
Window seat.
Beaches or mountains?
Mountains.
Sunrise flights or red eye late night flights?
Sunrise.
Adventure trip or relaxing getaways?
Relaxing takeaway, getaway.
Big city or off the grid places?
Off the grid.
5-star restaurants or street food?
Street food.
Great. So we'll twist this around a bit. We'll go into like, would you rather, right?
Yeah.
Would you rather be stuck on an airport for 24 hours or lose your luggage for a week?
24 hours stuck in the airport.
Okay. Only visit tropical beaches or snowy mountains for the rest of your life?
Tropical beaches.
Awesome. Travel for free but never get to choose your destination or pay for your tickets and always choose your destination?
Pay for my tickets.
Awesome. I would take the same choice. It's literally my same choice because I don't want to go.
You don't want to go places. Somebody you don't want to go. Like imagine going to like, I don't know, like.
Right. Visit only places you've been to before or never go to places you've been to before?
Visit again.
Awesome. So let's turn it around a little bit more. So this is more like one and only, which we call it.
Yeah.
So the one destination everyone should visit before they die.
Madrid.
Madrid? Mm-hmm. Been there. It's amazing. I think I can vouch for it. The one travel experience that changed your life?
Austria.
Austria?
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. Austria reminds me so much of back at home in Chile, in the south of Chile. So where I'm from, it's called Puerto Varas.
Puerto Varas.
And it was colonized by the Germans. And I actually come from a little town where it was named after the main town where Hitler was born. Hitler was born in a place called Braunau, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And my town was called New Braunau.
New Braunau. Know?
Yeah. So my grandma and my dad, they have German genetics. They look very, very German. And, you know, going back to Austria, it took me back to my childhood a little bit. And I found so much of what I missed there. The culture, the food, the sausages, the people. And although I had such a bittersweet ending in that place, there is so much and so many things that I miss about it. Maybe I'll go back one day, but to me, Austria is...
You inspire me. I really want to go to Chile. I really want to go to Austria now. Yeah. And
so it holds a very special place in my heart.
What's Chilean food like?
Hot.
Hot? As the name
it's
suggests?
It's empanadas. Have you heard of empanadas? Empanadas, of course. Empanadas are so good. Mm. We're the kings
and
of empanadas.
Is it the same Latino dishes like batatas bravas? And
yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of the same food.
But no, look, but listen, I got to be honest. We have better food than the Spaniards. Way better.
Okay.
They might have conquered Chile, but, you know, much better in my opinion.
So tell me, what's the one thing you always buy as a souvenir when you go traveling?
Oh, I'm so weird, man. I buy like the most random things. I would buy like a t-shirt or like a sleeping bag. I buy so many weird souvenirs, mainly for my parents, but which I never give to them. I always hold them.
All right, Giuliano, it was really great talking to you, and mm-hmm. it's always amazing. And I'm sure we're going to do one more episode because I think this is not enough. So that's a wrap, and you were absolutely amazing, and it's always a pleasure having you. So where can the listeners find you? Can you tell them about your social media handles?
Sure. You can find me on Instagram or anywhere on Google as The Networking Wizard, and you should be able to find me straight away.
Great. Huge thank you to you, Giuliano.
Thank you for having me.
That's a wrap for today's episode on License to Explore. So keep watching, and don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe so that you can stay tuned to what's coming next. And let's see you in the next episode.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, nice pocket square. I'm jealous. You have a great...